Awesome. Awesome, awesome, awesome. Good morning, everyone. So good to be in the, man, I got an OCD problem, don't I, right here? I got to have that just right. So good to be in the house of the Lord and just spend time in His presence, and this intimate time with Him has been wonderful this morning, hasn't it? Isn't that cool? I just love being led by the Spirit. You got to love being led by the Spirit. Amen? You got to love being led by the Spirit. If you don't love it, if you don't love being led by Holy Spirit, then you're not going to let Him lead you. But if you're in love with it, you let him lead. If you're in love with the Holy Spirit, that means you love to follow. I love being a follower, don't you? I love that the pressure is off. Amen. Being a leader in the kingdom of God, being a leader in the house of God, sometimes I can take on pressure that I shouldn't take on. It's not my job to make the change in your heart. Amen? It's Holy Spirit's job. My job is to be led by Him and present to you the Word and to do the things that He's calling me to do, but I don't have to make the change in your heart, and that takes all the pressure off. Because I would get so frustrated with that so quickly, you know what I mean? Anybody have any children, you know what I'm talking about. You can try to make them do what you want them to do, but you really can't make them. They have to want to change. They have to want to receive your instruction. Amen? And I wish I had learned that when I was younger as a parent instead of after my kids are all adults, you know? Because if I had known that when I was younger, it would save me a lot of frustration with my kids. Somebody needs to hear this. I don't know. I didn't intend to come say this, but I just say, that's why I like being led by the Spirit. I say this. Somebody needs to hear this. Maybe you're frustrated right now as a parent. Maybe your kids are adults and they're out of the house, but they're away from the Lord and you're frustrated because you don't see any change in their lives. Maybe you're frustrated because you've been praying for a long time for your children to receive the Lord and to be saved, and you're not seeing that happen. And I just want to encourage you this morning that it's not over. It's not over. Amen? God is in charge. And He has never stopped pursuing them, and He will never stop pursuing them. So we can't stop having faith that He heard our prayer the first time. And he's doing everything. Somebody in here prayed, Lord, break down the walls and the barriers that are keeping them from you. Somebody's prayed that. Who's prayed that? Raise your hand. You prayed that over your children. Okay. The Lord just told me to tell you He heard your prayer. Okay. He's doing that. And just have faith and trust and be patient. And in time, you're going to see the fruition of that. Amen. All right. Now let's get into this. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for that word. This is Peeled, the summer series, and as you know, Kim was sick last week, so she couldn't be here, but thank the Lord she's healthy and well today, and she was able to do her Facebook Live videos all week long. How many of you watched some, at least one, or a piece of one? Good, several of you. I want to encourage you to do this, okay? This week, I'm going to do the Facebook Live videos because I'm speaking this week. I won't be nearly as interesting as Kim, but... I might make it fun, though, okay? I mean, she made it fun, but I'll at least be goofy, that's for sure, okay? So they won't be as long as Kim. She's a teacher. I'm an apostle. I'm going to hit it hard and get out, all right? So please join throughout the week, and I'll tell you, it's growing. It's expanding. People are joining in. It's a really encouraging thing for me is we had somebody tell us yesterday who had never would have thought would be watching these videos in a million years. And this person told us, I'll catch you on Peeled. I'll catch you on your Facebook Live videos. And I was like, wow, that's cool. Kim shared that with me, and I was like, that's awesome. Because you never know who's watching. Amen? And what an impact it has. So follow along with that. So this is week two, and we're going to get into each slice of the fruit. I want you to turn to two scriptures today. I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 25, verse 14. And hold on to that. We're going to get to that in a few minutes. And then Galatians 5:22, I'm going to read to you right now. So Matthew 25:14. We'll get to that in just a few minutes. Galatians 5:22, right here, right now, okay? It says, Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. Amen? That's the fruit of the Spirit. Okay? So, over the past 5 years, Kim and I and our staff, we've spent quite a bit of time on the subject of love here at the River. And in fact, one of our first series we've ever done here at the River, I think it was the second series we did, was the Love Series. And every year since, we have done at least one series on the subject of love. Love is not just only just an important subject, but love is what we are all about as followers of Jesus Christ. Amen? For the Bible tells us in 1 John 4:8, but anyone who does not love does not know God, for God is love. Amen? Anyone who does not love does not know God, for God is love. So love is what we're all about. Without love, we're nothing. We have to love. It's who we are. It's God's character. It's who he is. It's the essence of who he is. So if we are going to be followers of him, if we are going to be like him, then we have to be full of love as well. If we're not full of love, then we're not like God. In fact, the Bible says we don't know him. And you wonder, listen, let me just throw this in there. You wonder some of those scriptures, because I've read these before, and I'm like, oh, man, that sounds so harsh, and it sounds so hard, and that's got to be hard for God. And when as I was a believer, I didn't really understand some of these scriptures. But you read a scripture like, many will come to me, Jesus said this, many will come to me in that day and say, Lord, Lord, in your name we prophesied, and we cast out demons, we laid hands on the sick, and they recovered, and, they did all these miraculous things. And Jesus said, and I will tell them, away from me, you evildoers, I never knew you. I never knew you. And I thought, wow, how can that happen? How can someone do all those things in the name of Jesus and then he say, away from me, I never knew you? And then I read this scripture, and the more this soaked in, the more I got a hold of this, I was like, there it is right there. You can do all of those things, but if you don't love, then you don't know God and he doesn't know you. In the sense of knowing, being intimate with each other. Amen? And so that's where it is right there. Love is, love is the defining characteristic of a follower of Jesus Christ. Okay? It's love. It's all about love. You may be well-educated, or you could have several theological degrees, or you could speak in many different languages, or you could be an eloquent communicator like me. But without love, it's meaningless. Can I just ask a favor in the booth back there? Will you turn the house lights up a little bit? It looks just a little dim in here today, and I want to see faces. There we go. Thank you. Maybe it was my eyes. I'm not sure. That looks better. The second thing I want to say is that you may be talented. You may be able to sing and play like these wonderful musicians and singers up here. You may be able to do all of that. You may be able to sing and play in such a way that it wows people and it draws crowds from all over the world, and you make a fortune. But without love, it's just a bunch of noise. You may be generous and give to the poor and those in need, and people may look at you and say, wow, look at that generous, godly person. But without love, it's completely fruitless. In fact, can I say this to you today? You may have joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, but without love, those are just meaningless words to describe an empty life. Ooh. Can I drop the mic? We can all go home and just ruminate on that for a while. Sermon's over. Amen. Good day. Right? I mean, think about that. When Holy Spirit was inspiring me to write that down, I had to look at that for a little bit. I had to meditate on that for a little bit. I really pray about what God's giving me to say, because I don't want to say anything out of order with him. I want to make sure this is the Holy Spirit leading me to say these things. But when I wrote that down, when I typed that in my message, I'm like, wait, can I really say that? Holy Spirit, can I really say that? And then I had to go back to the Word. What have I told you before? Don't take my word for it. Go to the Word of God, and you make sure, you cross-reference that. You make sure that it's in the Word of God. And that's what he's saying. Amen? So I went back to the Word of God, and I was like, yep, that's exactly what he's saying. God is saying you could have all of these things. You could do everything else, but without love, it's nothing. Without love, it's nothing. Love is the defining characteristic of a follower of Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 13 is known as the love chapter. You've probably all heard of it before, or at least pieces of it. But in verse 4, I want to read this. It says, love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. It does not demand its own way. It is not irritable and keeps no record of being wronged. It does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever truth wins out. Love never gives up, never loses faith, is always hopeful, and endures through every circumstance. Amen. Is that the word of God? So let me show you something real quick. It says, it starts us off with love is. Love is all of these things, and love is not these things, right? Did I give you that graphic to put up? Could you pop that up? Do you have that? Yes? No? Maybe? We're looking? Nope, that's not it. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. Let me just show it to you this way, all right? Let me say it to you. It says love is all these things. I want to show you the fruit of the Spirit in this scripture, okay? Joy is in verse 6, rejoices when truth wins out. Peace is in verse 5, not irritable and keeps no record of wrong. This is what love is. Patience and kindness are in verse 4. Love is patient and kind. All right, that was easy, right? All right, did we have it up there? Oh, you've got them on each one. All right, thank you so much. And goodness is in verse 4. It's not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. Faithfulness is in verse 7. Love never gives up, never loses faith, is always hopeful. Gentleness is in verse 5. It does not demand its own way. Somebody say hallelujah. I mean, come on, that's gentleness right there. Self-control is in verse 7. It endures through every circumstance. Fruit of the Spirit right there in this scripture. But this is what this scripture says. Love is all of these things. Without love, all the other slices are meaningless. Love holds them all together. Love is all of these things. You can do these things, but if you do them without love, it doesn't mean a thing. You have to do these things with love. And here's the thing about it. The world knows when these things are done in love or when love is left out of these things. Amen? If you're trying to be kind without love, people can see through it eventually. You may be able to fool them for a little while, but eventually they'll see through that. Right? If you're trying to have patience without love, it's going to quickly run out. Can anybody testify and say amen? Anybody, again, we were talking about kids early. Anybody try to have patience with your children, but you didn't have any love into it? There was no love invested into that patience? You know what I'm talking about? I just want to beat your tail. Nobody's ever felt that way but me. So the question I want to ask you today is this. What does it look like to have love demonstrated outwardly in our lives? Talking about love, what does it look like to have love demonstrated outwardly in our lives? So 1 John 4:10 says this. This is real love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. I want to focus on that phrase, as a sacrifice. As a sacrifice to take away our sins. John 15:13, Jesus said this. He said, there's no greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friends. Listen to how it reads in the Passion Translation. For the greatest love of all is a love that sacrifices all. And this great love is demonstrated when a person sacrifices his life for his friends. Now, you may say, well, this is talking about someone dying for someone, but I would say, no, not necessarily. That's not exactly what this is talking about. This in a sense, it is, because Jesus did sacrifice his life or lay down his life or die on the cross for his friends, for us, for his children, but that's not only what this is talking about. In fact, I want to go a little bit deeper into this. If you actually really dig into this, what lay down or sacrifice means is to make a sacrificial investment for someone else. That's what that actually means. To make a sacrificial investment for someone else. You're investing in someone sacrificially. You're doing something that causes you to sacrifice for them. That's what that means. To lay down one's life. To sacrifice for someone else. And in other words, let me put it to you this way. You've got things to do. You've got places to be. You've got, you know, you're a big shot, right? Look at somebody and say, you're a big shot. You got so many things going on. You got a busy schedule. You got a lot to do. So let me put this phrase, you know, the scripture in these terms. What you're going to do is you're going to lay aside or lay down the things that you have to do today in your life, and you're going to sacrifice that for someone else. You're going to do something for someone, and you're going to sacrifice that, and you're going to have to put that on the back burner for another day. Does that make a little more sense to you? Lay down one's life? We always look at this and go, well, that's dying for someone. And I don't really ever have a chance to die for someone, so I guess I don't need to fulfill this scripture. That was Jesus. He's telling us to do this. He's telling us to lay down our lives for one's friends. We're supposed to do this. We're supposed to sacrifice our lives for someone else. Make a sacrificial investment. That's what love is. Love is making a sacrificial investment. And again, I'll go back to the parent thing. You know this if you're a parent. You know this if you're a child. Because you've seen it happen, you've seen it invested in your life. As a parent, you have done many times, you have sacrificed for your children. Growing up, I remember looking back at what my parents said, many, many times my parents made a sacrifice of something they wanted to do or something they needed to do for me. Even though it was they had something important to be done, they would put that on the back burner. They would lay down or lay aside what they needed to do and make a sacrificial investment in my life. And had they not done that, I wouldn't be where I am today. What you see happening today in this church and in this area would not be happening today had my parents not made a sacrificial investment in my life. Okay? So that's what that means. So this actually, scripture is talking about serving, is what it's talking about. To serve someone. Ooh, there it is, the big S word. Serve someone. That's what it's talking about. Let me show you. Matthew 20, 28. Jesus said, "For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to," say it with me, "serve others and to give his life as a ransom for many." This scripture doesn't say that he came to serve others by giving his life as a ransom for many. This scripture says he came to serve others and give his life as a ransom for many. And this is what I want to stick on, because so many times we're like, we misread this scripture. Jesus came to serve others by giving his life for many. No, he came to serve others and give his life for many. He did both. Jesus was the ultimate example of servanthood here on this earth. He set the example for us. He came to serve, and then he went and gave his life for the ransom of many. So this is where we have to grab hold of this. This is where the scripture is speaking to us and instructing us as followers of Jesus Christ. If we're going to be like him, then we also must serve others. We have to serve. The ultimate example of love demonstrated in our lives is in servanthood. It's to serve. It shows it right here. Mark 9:35 says this: Jesus sat down, called the 12 disciples to come around him, and said to them, "If anyone wants to be first, he must be content to be the last and become a," say it, "servant to all." This is an important point. He pulls the disciples around him and say, "Hey, come here, sit down. I got to tell you something. It's really important. Everybody sit down. Give me your undivided attention. If you want to be first, you must become last and become a servant to all." You want to climb the ladder of success in the kingdom of God, then make yourself a servant. Serve everybody. Lay aside your life and serve others. Make a sacrificial investment in the kingdom of God by serving other people. That's what he's talking about. Philippians 2 5 through 7 says, "And consider the example that Jesus, the anointed one, has set before us. Let his mindset become your motivation. He existed in the form of God, yet he gave no thought to seizing equality with God as his supreme prize. Instead, he emptied himself of his outward glory by reducing to the form of a lowly servant. He became a human. Think about this. He left his throne in heaven not to just come and die for us. He left his throne in heaven to come and teach us. I just got to tell you, I don't think it was a picnic for him to come and be born as a human being. He was completely 100% God when he took the form of 100% human. Now, I know we can't fathom what that looks like or understand that completely, but can you imagine? He had all the knowledge, I don't know, my mind goes here sometimes. He had all the knowledge of God, everything, all the knowledge of God as he was being born through the birth canal of a human being. Hello? Are you thinking this through with me? Like when we were babies, we knew nothing. We remember nothing. Nobody here can say, I remember being born. No, you don't. Told my mom one day, I remember being in your stomach. I remember when you ate chicken, the bones hit me in the top of the head. That's what I told her. I was like 3. She said I told her that. I really believed it until I realized you don't actually eat the bones. We don't remember. But Jesus came in the form of a human being to teach us. And one of the most important lessons that we need to learn is that we must serve just like he served. That's what he did. He went around serving others. I remember when he was a little child, you read it in the Bible, he was a child and his parents went to Jerusalem. And then a couple days later they went to leave, and I don't know how this happened. Well, I do know how it happens. I've left a kid or two before. They went to leave and they're like, wait a minute, where's Jesus? Jesus, where are you at? And they had to go back to Jerusalem. I don't know how far they got down the road, but can you imagine? They got back to Jerusalem, and what was he doing? He was in the temple serving, teaching. He was in the house of God, serving. We got to go back and get Jesus. Where is he at? What is he doing? Is he in the marketplace playing? What is he doing? They looked all over for him. They finally got to the temple. There he is in the house of God serving. What an ultimate example. From the time he was a child, he was showing us that to love others is to serve others. So Matthew 25 is the other scripture I wanted you to go to. Let me read this to you real fast. 25:14, it's the parable of the three servants, and it says, again, the kingdom of heaven can be illustrated by the story of a man going on a long trip. He called together his servants and entrusted his money to them while he was gone. He gave 5 bags of silver to one, 2 bags of silver to the other, and 1 bag of silver to the last, dividing it in proportion to their abilities. He then left on his trip. The servant who received the 5 bags of silver began to invest the money and earn 5 more. The servant with 2 bags of silver also went to work and earned 2 more. But the servant who received the 1 bag of silver dug a hole in the ground and hid the master's money. After a long time, the master returned from his trip and called them together to give an account of how they used his money. The servant to whom he had entrusted 5 bags of silver came forward with 5 more and said, Master, you gave me 5 bags of silver to invest, and I have earned 5 more. The master was full of praise. Well done, my good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in handling this small amount, so now I will give you many more responsibilities. Let's celebrate together. The servant who had received 2 bags of silver came forward and said, Master, you gave me 2 bags of silver to invest, and I have earned 2 more. The master said, Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in handling this small amount, so now I will give you many more responsibilities. Let's celebrate together. The servant who with the 1 bag of silver said, Master, I knew you were a harsh man, harvesting crops you didn't plant and gathering crops you didn't cultivate. I was afraid I would lose your money, so I hid it in the earth. Look, here is your money back. But the master replied, You wicked and lazy servant. If you knew I harvested crops I didn't plant and gathered crops I didn't cultivate, why didn't you deposit my money in the bank? At least I could have gotten some interest on it. Then he ordered, Take the money from this servant and give it to the one who has 10 bags of silver. To those who use well what they are given, even more will be given, and they will have an abundance. But from those who do nothing, even what little they have will be taken away. Now throw this useless servant into outer darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Can I just say this? Jesus is serious about serving. Amen? If you didn't believe it before, you better believe it now after me reading this parable to you. He's serious about us serving. You wonder, how could he say that you're a wicked and lazy servant? How could he say, throw this wicked servant into the outer darkness where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth? Because he's serious about serving. Serving is all about love. If you want to demonstrate love outwardly in your life, you serve others. Come on, y'all. Somebody say amen. You sitting there all quiet. You're just telling on yourself. Serve others. Serve. Get busy serving. You want to make, you know, you want to see the love of God outwardly demonstrated in your life, you must serve. He's serious about using what he has given us, our abilities, our talents, our gifts for the kingdom of God. Serving is not an option. It is a command from Jesus himself. It's not an option. He's not like you can come to the house of God and if you want to serve, you can. But if you don't, it's all right. Everybody's getting into heaven anyway. I just like saying that kind of stuff and then looking at faces. Eyes going, whoo, what? I don't know about you, but when I read this parable of the three servants, it doesn't look like everybody's getting in. Throw this wicked and lazy servant into outer darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be in the outer darkness. I want to be in the kingdom. You know, I heard somebody say this the other day, and I'm trying to be encouraging today. I really am. I heard someone say this the other day. You know, in the churches, we don't preach about hell anymore. And I'm not trying to, I think we can preach about hell and talk about hell in a positive sense to say we don't want to go there. And we don't want anybody to go there, right? God doesn't want anybody to go there. Did you know that? God doesn't want anybody to go there. He's not that kind of father. He's a good and loving father, much, much better than we are as fathers and mothers. He's a much better parent than we are. He doesn't want anybody to go there. His heart breaks. That's why Jesus did come, not only to serve, but to give his life so we didn't have to go to hell. But here's the truth. The truth is hell is there, and anyone who does not receive Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior, anyone who does not confess him as Lord, and then once you confess him, anyone who does not serve him in love will spend eternity in hell. And God doesn't want that. And I got to tell you, as a pastor, it's one of the hardest things as a pastor. It breaks my heart when I see people making poor decisions. They have an opportunity to make a great decision to follow Jesus. Listen, you say, well, if they confess Jesus Christ as Lord and receive him into their heart, they're saved and that's it. Game over. That's not game over. Yes, you got to receive him. You got to confess him as Lord and Savior, but you got to live for him too. You got to follow him. That's why we're called followers. I've known many people who said, Jesus, I receive you and I make you the Lord of my life. And I know today they're not serving him. They're not following him. They're as far away from him as possible. Anybody else? Hello? I'm sorry if you didn't know by now. I'm Pentecostal and I don't believe once saved, always saved. If you didn't know that, I'm sorry. We can have a discussion, theological discussion about that, but I don't believe that. I believe you can walk away from God. I believe this. I believe the Word of God that says no one can pluck you out of the hand of God. That's absolutely true. Nobody else can pluck you out of the hand of God, but you can choose to get up and walk out of his hand. Hello? You can choose. If you couldn't, then we wouldn't have free will. right? We would just be robots doing what we're told to do, but we're not. We have a free will. We're human beings, and God created us in His image, and we have a choice to make, a choice to follow Him every day of our lives, or a choice to walk away from Him and not receive His love and His acceptance. Amen? So choose life. Choose God. Choose to follow Jesus. And one of the ways we choose is that we choose to serve others in love. We choose to serve. Listen, God works through His body, through the body of Christ. Jesus is the head, but we are the body. And God works through us to reach the world for the kingdom of God and for His glory. Amen? We're the body. We're the hands and the feet. We're the body chugging along in this world and advancing the kingdom of God. And if we don't do what He's called us to do, then how is this world going to be reached? How are we going to evangelize this world? How are they going to see the love of God unless we're stepping out and showing them? Amen. That's good preaching, Bill. I just have to encourage myself sometimes. Here at the River, we have a volunteer board, or you could say a servant board, in our Next Steps area. How many of you have seen that board? All right. Well, if you haven't, you're going to see it right now. Plop it up there. This is it. This is our volunteer, our serving board that we have in the Next Steps area. This board displays the different ministries in the church and the level of participation or need in those areas. If an area has plenty of servants, it's in green. Okay? So you can see security, cleaning, building maintenance. In green means we are fully staffed there, or we're doing well there. We may not be fully staffed, but we're doing better than the other areas. If an area is in yellow, it means that there's a real need for volunteers. So you see 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 areas in yellow. And if an area is in red, it means we have a severe need for servants. And if an area is in the red and is yellow highlighted, it means we are bleeding to death. And I got to say, we need you. We need you. I told our staff this the other day. I said, you know, God's doing an amazing thing here, and I'm just blown away every week by what God does here and throughout the week, not just here on Sundays, but what He's doing as in this His body here. How many of you can say that since you've been attending the River, there's been a dramatic change in your spiritual walk with Christ? How many of you can say that? Like, there's been a change. You've seen so much happen. Okay, good. That's good. I know that because I've had so many testimonies, so many people come up to me. My life has changed dramatically. I've learned more in the last 5 years than I have in my entire Christian life. I've learned more. God has given me, every week He drops something on me, and I'm like, you know, I'm growing and I'm learning, and it's been amazing. And I told our staff, I said, listen, it's amazing what God's doing, but and we want to grow and we want to expand, we want to build. You guys all know that. There's no secret. We've been talking about this. We want to get the land around us. We have these big visions and dreams that God has given us for this community. But what I said to them is, listen, we're not going to be able to do that until we are fully prepared to receive that. God's not going to give us, it may be a good thing and a God thing, but He's not going to give it to us if it will destroy us. Right? He's not going to send thousands of people to us if we can't handle thousands of people. If we can't handle 500 people because our board looks like this, how can we handle thousands? This is what I said to him. I said, we got to do something. We've got to communicate to our congregation the importance of serving. It's important. It's the number one thing. Jesus did not come to be served, but to serve others. And He's called us to do the same. And here at the River, we need you. I can just tell you this. Here's what I feel. If everyone who attends the river were fulfilling this important mandate from Jesus, then we would have no need in any area of ministry. This board would be all green all the time. If everyone just served somewhere, we wouldn't have the needs that we have. And can I just say this? I can't help but wonder what Jesus thinks about what this board looks like today. I am not in any way trying to make you feel bad. I'm trying to encourage us to serve. We got to serve. We got to serve each other. You know, it's true. In most churches, it's true. 20% of the people do 80% of the work. And that's sad. That shouldn't happen in the house of God. It shouldn't happen in the family of God, in the body of Christ. If we all are followers of Jesus Christ, then we all should be following him by serving others. Amen? That's what we should do. We should serve in some area. And there are many people in here today, you're serving. And thank you for that. But we need everybody. We need everybody. I've had people tell me this, and I want to address this real quick. I've had people tell me, well, I don't serve because I've been hurt by serving before in the church. Or I've been taken advantage of and had to do much more than I bargained for. Now, that's happened to me. I've been hurt, and I had to do more than I bargained for. Anybody else? Anybody? Anybody? And my answer is, and? What do you think laying down your life is all about? If you think it's all a bed of roses and everything's good and, you know, you're on smooth sailing, then that's why you're hurt. That's why you're disappointed. You're disappointed because you expected it to be like that. But listen, there's going to be valleys. There's going to be times that it's hard. There's going to be times you're disappointed. There's going to be times when people don't act like Jesus. Even in the church. Wow, believe it or not, it happens. But listen, you're not serving for the praise and appreciation of men. But if you are, that's why you're disappointed. If you are, that's why you're hurt. You're serving with the wrong motives. You can't serve for the praise and appreciation of men. If you're serving for their appreciation, if you're living by their appreciation, then you're going to die by their criticism. You can't do that. You've got to serve all for the Lord. Serve all for Him. Everything you do should be for Him. And I guarantee you, if you're laying it all out there for Jesus, you'll never be disappointed. Ever. There have been times I've had to remind myself of this. I've overcome that. I really have. That's thank you, Jesus, for helping me overcome that part in my life, because I used to get really disappointed in the church. Even as a pastor, I was disappointed sometimes, really upset, you know, that people act like they act sometimes, or that I had to do a lot more than I had time for. Okay? I had to set some things aside and do some things that I really needed to do these things, but because no one, you know, else was doing this, I had to do that. I had to sacrifice these things and lay these things down for that. And there would be times I'd get disappointed, I'd get upset. I know none of you have acted this way or felt this way, but I would, and I would be like, and then I'd have to remind myself and let Holy Spirit teach me once again. I'm not serving for you. Although I love you and we're a team in this, I'm not serving for you. I'm serving for Jesus. I do what I do for Jesus. And that's what keeps us going. Several years ago, I told you this story before, but for those of you who have never heard it, I want you to hear this. If you've heard it before, probably 10 times, just act like you haven't heard it. Several years ago, Kim and I was on our 22nd, something like that, wedding anniversary, 23rd, okay, I don't know, it's one of those, it's in the 20s. It was our wedding anniversary, and we we went to, we were living in Louisiana at the time, and we went to Olive Garden to get something to eat, and because I'm a big spender. We dressed up in our shorts and t-shirts, and we went to Olive Garden, and we were going to get something to eat, and we sat down, and they didn't have any place else to sit, so they sat us in the bar, and we're sitting there in the bar, and we start to, you know, just talk, and this is where our conversation goes. I mean, we were at this point, we had been praying, and we said this to each other almost identically at the same time. We said, I want to waste my life for the kingdom of God. I want to waste my life for Jesus. I want to spend it all. I want to leave it all on the field. You know what I'm saying? I want to spend it all. I can feel it today like I felt it then. And then we start crying like this. I mean, just bawling. We're sitting there just, it's our anniversary, and we're bawling. And the waitress comes up to serve us, and like we're sitting at this table, she comes up and she goes, and we didn't care. We just kept crying and encouraging each other. And a few minutes later, she comes up, she sees us, she does it again. She's just like, she probably did that 3 or 4 times. It was so funny. And I'm thinking, man, we're in the bar. They're probably thinking we're having trouble. It's just like they're messed up. They're drunk. Something's happening. It was so funny. But we were just bawling. We're bawling our eyes out saying, I want to spend it all. I want to waste my life on Jesus. I want to give everything I have. I don't care what I have in this life as long as I give it all for Him. That's what it's all about. That's what it's all about. That's what Jesus wants for you more than anything else. And can I tell you, can I testify, if you do that, you'll be more fulfilled in this life than you've ever been in your entire life. You'll be more fulfilled, I promise you. It's not about having riches. It's not about having material things. It's not about having a big family. It's not about having any of that. It's about giving it all for Jesus and serving others. And when you do, you're going to be fulfilled like you've never been fulfilled before. And to this day, 8 years later, we still feel the same way. Nothing's changed. And whenever we start to get, oh man, this is a little rough, we just encourage ourselves, no, we're spending it all for Jesus. We're laying it all down. We said this, I'm an athlete, so we used to say this, leave it all on the field. Don't you walk off that field having one bit of energy left to spend. You leave it all on the field. But can I tell you that as followers of Jesus Christ, can you leave it all on the field? Can you give it all for Jesus? Can you waste your lives for Him? Spend it all, lay it all on the line? That's what He's calling you to do. And we need you here. We need you in the body of Christ to get busy. Get busy. And now, let me just tell you, I'm going to give you a scripture. And before I give you a scripture, let me just say this. Again, I want to say about doing it for accolades. Guys, listen. One time Jesus healed 10 lepers. He healed them all. He told them, this is how He healed them. He gave them a word and He said, go show yourself to the priest. And as they left, go show themselves to the priest, all 10 of them were completely cleansed and healed. Now, I don't know if you know about leprosy, but it's a pretty nasty disease, and it's not like you can be healed and not know it. Hello? Like they had just physical changes that took place that were miraculous, and so as they're walking along, they could see, wow, gone, I'm healed. Okay? Only one came back to Jesus. 10 were healed. Only one came back and fell at His feet and said, thank you. And Jesus said, were not there 10 of you who were healed? And what I'm saying to you is this. Jesus wasn't doing it for the accolades of people either. He was doing it because He loved us. And He's calling us to do the same. He's calling us to do it. Do it because you love people, not because you're going to get praise from them. Not because they're going to pat you on the back and say, good job. You did a good job. You may serve in a position here at this church and never get one thank you from someone. That shouldn't change your position of serving. You should keep serving because you're not doing it for a thank you. Now, I hope that we do a better job than that and actually thank you every once in a while, but I know we'll do at least once a year at our River U. We'll have you come. I know at least then. That's our. We appreciate all our volunteers at that. And I have to say, we do a good job of that here. If you ever serve in a ministry here, you're going to get a card personally written from us here at the church thanking you for serving. And then we're going to invite you to our River U, which is coming up this fall. It's an amazing event. You need to sign up to serve today just for that, because it's awesome. You're going to love it. We're going to train you. We're going to feed you. We're going to treat you. You're going to feel amazing when you leave here from that day. So I just want to say this. Galatians 5:13 says, "For you have been called to live in freedom, my brothers and sisters, but don't use your freedom to satisfy your sinful nature. Instead, use your freedom to serve one another in love." That's what it's all about. So when you walked in the door today, you received a talent or a coin. Hold it up if you have it. If you don't have a coin, how many do not have one? Go ahead and put your hands down if you have one. Raise your hand if you don't have one. Okay, can I have you walk through? They're going to walk through. Keep your hand up until you receive one. I want everyone to have one, your own individual coin. Okay, keep your hand up. Come on, folks. Come on, walk through with them. Here they come. Keep your hand up real high. They're going to hand them to you. Just a few people here. One way back there. All right, here's what we want you to do. You receive this coin, this talent when you walked in. What we're going to do is we're going to do three things. One, we're going to pray right now. In just a moment, we're going to pray and ask Holy Spirit to reveal to us anything that might be keeping us from serving in the body of Christ at the house of God where He's planted us. The second thing we're going to do is after we pray, we're going to ask you to go out to the tables that we've set up out here on the patio in the back. Go out the south entrance. Everybody, please. Go out the south entrance. Go to the patio. Go to one of these tables, and we want you to choose a place to invest your talent. Okay? Choose a place to invest this. If you're concerned about schedule, if you're concerned about your schedule, like I work a lot of hours, it's crazy hours, they're always, anything like that, it's okay. Invest your talent, and you can tell them, listen, I have crazy hours, I only have a certain amount of time, we'll take whatever. Start somewhere. Amen? Start somewhere. If you can only give an hour a month, start somewhere. Don't say, well, I just can't do it. Because if you do that, you'll never invest it. Start. Don't you think it's interesting that Jesus, when he gave that parable, don't you think it's interesting with the third servant that he said, instead, you chose to bury it in the earth? Think about that. I've taught this many times. What are we? Earth. When God created us, he reached down and grabbed a handful of earth, and he breathed life into it. And that became us, right? When you die, this body goes back to earth. Don't bury your gifts and abilities inside you. Don't hoard them to yourself. Invest them in the kingdom of God. Whatever you can invest, just do it. And then the third thing we're asking you is if you're already serving, great. If you want to sign up for more, you can. But listen, this is really important. We don't want you to be overwhelmed. We already know that 20% of the people do 80% of the work. I've been in those positions where I served in the kingdom of God, in the house of God, where I was overwhelmed and I was doing 20 different things. And I was just like, God, please send us some people that will help, because I can't keep balancing all these plates. Sooner or later, some plates are going to crash, amen? So don't get overwhelmed. If you're already serving in an area or two, don't get overwhelmed. We're trying to get those who need to invest. But if you want to, you're feeling led of the Lord to invest somewhere else, you can. But if you're already investing, here's what we're asking you to do. If you're already investing, you can, there's, at the table, at each ministry, there's going to be these two little bowls. And one says, current talent investor. If you're already investing and you feel like you're full with your investing, then put your coin in this bowl, okay, wherever you're serving. If you're serving in multiple ministries, just choose one to drop it in a current talent investor, okay? We know you're serving in multiple. That's okay. And if you're not serving currently and you want to invest your talent, or you're serving and want to invest again, Then there's one that says new talent investor. Drop your coin in that bowl. Tell them that you want to serve. And when you do, they're going to have you fill out this volunteer sign-up card. And on this card, we're just asking for your name, phone number, social security number, credit card number. Let me just stop real quick. Anybody who's serving at a table right now in a ministry, you need to go man your table. You can get up and leave right now. If you're serving, if you're manning one of the tables, you can go right now. Thank you for that. Okay, no, we just want your basic information. We're asking for your cell phone carrier so we can, because we want to do a text type thing on our, we do a new thing called Church Planning Center. It's a great way to organize volunteers. We want you to sign up for that when you do this so we can tell you when you're scheduled to serve. And then you're just going to check the area that you're interested in there at the table and talk to the leader of that ministry about that ministry. Okay, so this is what we're asking you to do. So let's pray. Everybody just hold your talent in your hand while we pray together. Father, in the name of Jesus, we're asking Holy Spirit right now to reveal to us, Father, everyone in this place, any area of our lives, Father, that may be holding us back from serving in your kingdom. Whether it be excuses, Father, that we've just had over the years about time, about our abilities. Maybe we believed lies that we feel like we don't have nothing to offer. Father, maybe it's that we've been hurt or wounded serving in church before. Father, I just ask you in Jesus' name, Holy Spirit, reveal those lies to us that we believed and remove them right now in the name of Jesus. I break every lie of the enemy right now in Jesus' name. Father, speak your truth to our hearts right now about the importance of serving and that this is truly love demonstrated outwardly in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you so much. Please, when you leave today, stop by the tables to drop your coin in somewhere and invest in a ministry. Thank you.